God bless you all. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we, Lord, come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we ask you, Lord, to be with us and help us, Lord, through this day. And we thank you, Lord, for the beautiful weather we've got this week. And Father, we just pray that would help us to get ready for the going home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're going to look at Satan's Eden number 151 this morning. And I've entitled this, It Repeats in Every Age. Now, from Satan's Eden number 35, God's Eden was established in righteousness. That's right, wiseness. Satan's Eden is established in sin because Satan is sin. God is righteousness. And God's kingdom was established in righteousness, in peace and life. And Satan's establishment is in sin and religious sin. So what's unbelief? Well, unbelief is fantasy, all right? Just pure make-believe, okay? Fantasy. Unbelief is not believing what God said. Now, you can take the Bible for written history as God sees it. It is real. It is living. It is a reality. Now, take, for instance, if you are a writer, it's unbelief. It's fantasy land. You write novels, what are they? Well, what is their purpose? You take to take you to a fictitious story. So what is fantasy land anyway? It's all just unbelief. So you think you're doing something by watching a movie. What is it but it's unreal, okay? Yet the Bible is real. It is the Word of God. You write for a newspaper or a magazine. It's all fantasy land. If you're an actor, you are playing someone else. And the script you're following is all fantasy. So writers and actors are all living in a fantasy world. You want the people to believe that which is not real, okay? But preach the Bible and show the reality of what is taking place, and they get offended. Why? Because they don't want reality. They want illusion and delusion, and all they want is fantasy land. And anything that is not revealed is open to illusion and delusion. Now take any sport where money flows into it, football, baseball, basketball, soccer. It's run by the money men. It's become a fantasy game. It's just children's game, yet adults are playing it. Why? For the money, right? There is no difference between football being played on Sundays, which is breaking the Lord's day, and a fantasy football. But at least those who are playing fantasy football know that it isn't real, or do they? Sports are run by the billionaire bookies. Why? It's all entertainment. And we are told it is a characteristic of the end time, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. There's huge money in sports, but it's not real anymore. Oh, in the trenches, the linemen may fight it out and bloody themselves like the gladiators of old. But the key players are bought with the huge salaries and are forced to play along or they're fined. Is there one player in the NFL that is a true Christian? No. You say, wow, that's a pretty strong statement. No, they would be playing on Sunday if they were. All right? When I was in training camp for the Vikings, the Holy Spirit kept saying to me, you may win the world, but lose your own soul. So I left it for Christ. You see, when I was playing in college, we played on Saturdays, and we could honor the Lord's Day. And, you know, they would invite me everywhere to, you know, speak at Baptist churches and stuff like that. But he told me when I was in the Vikings training camp, you know, you want to lose your soul, this is the place to be, okay? So sports is entertainment. Like movies, you go and expect to be entertained. Schools have become a fantasy factory, turning out students that can't see reality. They don't even know what country is located where or even what states are located where. Obama didn't even know how many states are in the United States. He said, well, I've been to 57, and now I'm looking to go to the 58th. So, you know, that tells me that people are dumbed down, okay? The schools don't teach you about God anymore. They teach you what they want you to believe. You can ask a student in college if men can have a baby, and they'll say yes. You call that education. I call it indoctrination. We have the head of the healthcare in the U.S., that thinks he is a she. And he's a big, burly man, probably a tackle based on his size because he played football in high school. But he now wears a dress. His name was Richard then. He now changed it to Rachel. So what did he learn in school? Nothing but fantasies. But ask him about real science, like true science, says that you must have two X chromosomes to be a woman and thus to get pregnant, and they don't understand that. Yet Mr. Levine has XY chromosomes, making him a male, and was married for 25 years to his wife and had two children, and then he divorced her. But he wears a dress and says he turned into a woman at 55 years old. Can you imagine that? Turning into something you aren't. You see, their theology is all messed up. It's like people, you know, well, we were hogs and now we're sons of God. No, you always were a son of God. The Bible says so. He left a wife and two grown children to enter fantasy land. That is not reality. That is a fantasy land. And they can't see that it's destroying this nation and all nations. They can't see reality, so they believe in Marvel characters on the big screen. They believe they're real. As if that is the reality when it's only fantasy land. So in school, they learn fantasy science. And the people who have money somehow think this makes them better than the rest of humanity. They think that they are the ones who are above the others. Well, didn't Satan do the same thing in the beginning? He wanted to exalt himself above the sons of God. You see, that was the attribute of Lucifer that got him kicked out of heaven. They deceived the whole world into locking down by using fantasy science that is now taught at the prestigious universities across the land. And so the world is certifiably insane. Einstein said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And the world is doing the same thing over and over and over again, 2, 3, 4, 5, even 6 times, just because a few people said that they should do it. Our prophet warned us at the end time the whole world would be insane. And the world chose fantasy rather than standing for real science. And the real science were boycotted from their jobs. Real scientists were boycotted from their jobs and from speaking up, bringing in the prophesied boycotts that we have seen. Our world closed their eyes to the reality, just like they have closed ears to the voice of God. They have set themselves up for the curses of God, as stated in Deuteronomy 28. They have taken his word out of the public spotlight. Science and medicine, education and politics, and Hollywood, all the media and all literature, and even the majority of religions are now based on illusion and delusion, which is a fantasy. Even our farmers used to be real, but now are producing fantasy foods called GMO foods, which look better, bigger, and they look better, but haven't any nutrients left in them, so they're producing death. Medicine used to be real, but the pharmacists are now producing death and killing off millions each year. But will they be sued? No, because they contribute so much to the fantasy Congress. Oh, I say fantasy Congress. Every year, they run out of money. So what do? They vote themselves more money. It's just fantasy. They're living on just a dream, all right? Actually, it's an illusion. Because they contribute too much to the fantasy Congress, where they use gimmicks to keep you in the fantasy economy. Even the prophet Elisha was told by the school of prophets, and I want you to notice it was a school, and they said, there is death in the pot. He thought he had a pee, or they thought they had a pee, when he had some poisonous gourds instead. Now, even a youngster knows the difference between peas, which are small, and a large gourd, but maybe he thought it was a GMO pea. So anyway, education produces such dumbing down that you can count on one hand the people who make it through their system that don't believe all than the fantasy science they are pushing. So before we are going to go any further, let me just tell you what reality is. It is righteousness. It is right wiseness. Take right wiseness out of the equation and you have a fantasy land. You have illusion and you have delusion. But before I get into it, let me read one scripture which will help you to understand. Proverbs 12:5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Now think about how simple that is. The thoughts of the righteous are right. What makes a man righteous? His thoughts. Is it some mystical combination of doing things for God Or is it simply thinking the right things is what makes you righteous? Having the mind of Christ. And remember, we spent 8 sermons on watering the right kind of seed in your mind, because that seed, which is thoughts, becomes the word, and then it becomes actions. Proverbs 16:13 says, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they that love him that speaketh right. And how could you speak right things if they were not first in your mind and then in your heart? The Bible tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And then Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if you want to know if you are elect of God, what are your thoughts? Are you thinking about football, Super Bowl, doing the things that the world does, or are you thinking about God? Okay? So therefore, the king loves to hear what is right, the right things from your lips, because it shows you are thinking right things and therefore are righteous. In the negative, the Bible says the same thing, Acts 13:10, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And in the same way, it says in Proverbs 16:8, better is a little with righteousness, a little with right thinking, than great revenues without right, than to gain much by not being right. Okay? And we find in Job 35:2, thinkest thou this to be right, or that thou sayest, my righteousness is more than God's? In other words, how can you be righteous when you think your thoughts are more righteous than God's own thoughts? And how can you have righteous thoughts unless God places his thoughts which are right in you? How can you do it on your own? God's thoughts, when he said, Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So getting back to how you receive his thoughts, which are right. He said in John 17:20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may all be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, which is the doxa, God's opinions, values, and judgments, which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. That is how you receive the mind of Christ. Now back to Brother Branham's sermon, Satan's Seed. Notice how he deceived it in deception, as he said he would. He promised to do this. Did anybody know that? Let's turn to Isaiah if you want some of these scriptures out. I thought to quote more of them, I guess. But let's turn to Isaiah, the 14th chapter, just a moment, and just see what Satan said here, just a moment. In Isaiah 14, we'll read it. And watch what this fellow's done, Isaiah 14. He begins with verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the earth, to the ground, which did weakest the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. That's the sons of God, stars of God. All right? And I will set also upon the mountains of the congregation the size of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, many clouds of witnesses. I will be like the Most High. Now, Brother Branham actually says, he's the one who said that the stars are the sons of God. And Paul says that the clouds are many clouds of witnesses, okay? Now, compare that over here with our other scripture over in Thessalonians a while ago, how he said, he sits in the temple of God, exalting himself above all that's called God, so that he, as God, is worshipped as God upon the earth. Now, that's the God of this world that I preached to you about last Sunday. Here he is today in deceit, that treacherous hour, the tremendous time that we're living in. It's the most glorious time of all the ages because we're facing the great millennium again. We're facing the Eden again, but right at this age, all the deceit and every tactic that he's ever used and been able to deceive with, he's gathering it all together and reinforce himself and come down like God. Remember, there's two Perusias at this time, and put himself in place of God, religious, and he can quote the scripture and he can tell you scripture, just as Satan did to Eve in the garden. Now, I don't know how many of you remember, but when Pope Francis came on the scene, he was quoting scriptures all the time. And, you know, and the scriptures he was quoting were right, but all of a sudden, he, you know, after a while, he just veered off and went into full-blown communism. Now, that is how he's been perverting the world, and he does it by bad theology. The entire Muslim world is based on bad theology. The entire Catholic world is based on bad theology. In fact, the whole world is governed off of bad theology. And you cannot stop its spread. You don't have the manpower to stop it by yourself. You will be either canceled out or killed, thinking they're doing God a service without it being his will. You can only protect yourself. The fact that the Muslims, before he cuts a man's head off for believing the thoughts of God, which are not their thoughts, shouts praises to his God, which is the God of his imagination. Now, can you imagine that? He's going to cut a man's head off who's thinking God's thoughts, and then in his head, out of the abundance of the mouth, or the heart, the mouth speaketh, he praises his God, who is only the God of his imagination. The Catholic man, before he puts you into prison for believing what his church does not teach, he does it because his mind is trained in thinking the Catholic Church is the only right-thinking church. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. But leave out one spot of it all, and he has but leave out one spot of it is all he has to do. Make that gap where the poison doctrine of the devil can pour through, like the thinking man's filter we were talking about the other night. Now, he said he would exalt himself above the high, he would ascend above the clouds and the stars, and he would set there like God and be above the Most High. And has succeeded in carrying out his threats. Now, we're going to get into that in 169. You're going to wonder, you know, you're wondering, well, how is Satan really building his Eden? You know, because, you know, and you're going to find out he does it through a seed. Just like God manifests as sons of God, Satan's seed are manifesting Satan's spirit, his life. Okay? So he has certainly had a marvelous success in carrying out this threat by the people letting him explain away in every age the value of God's promises word for that age. That's exactly how he's done it. In every age, he explained it away. He has gotten more to go along with his way of thinking than God has, who chose to think God's thoughts instead of their own. And by sheer volume and masses of people, he has turned his way into a warfare against God's way. And these people are not innocent at all. They hear the word and turn it down for popularity's sake. And they die right there spiritually. And so we see it is no different in this age. They are still preaching a Pentecostal message when the prophet himself said, this message is a million miles beyond Pentecost. From presuming, he said, there's where you Pentecostals missed it by a million miles. You went after sensation instead of waiting for the word to be fulfilled. That's right. That's why you organized. And they're still rejecting this message because of their Pentecostal influences. They have unified for the sake of unity, and God never forgave Israel for that sin, and he won't forgive you either. Do you think he will forgive you just because you claim to believe the message when you won't even preach it, to be identified with it? I don't think so. And I believe many people will be disappointed when when God's rapture takes place and they will be left behind. When God, who is the Word, comes down with a shout, which is the message, and you reject the message, which is only the Word, you think you will be a partaker of the voice, which is the resurrection, which was to be identified by the same Word because God is the Word. They will miss it just like they miss the shout. They will miss that trumpet of God, which is the Word made real, and they will be caught up in the reality of the word, while they still argue about whether we should use a Greek word because Brother Bram never used it. Oh my. how ignorant people can get. So they are willingly ignorant and know not the scriptures because they choose not to receive the doxa of God to have the mind of Christ, and they will be judged for it. They like their Facebook. They like talking to people. They like doing this and that, and they won't listen to the word of God, period. But they say, well, we've got to be right because we have the largest following. I'm afraid that that would make you the least right for many more of the children of the harlot than she which has a husband. Tell me, when has God ever dealt with numbers, you know, that makes you right? When has God ever said that your vote even counts worth anything? It's his ways or no ways at all. And to be righteous, you must have your right thoughts, which are his thoughts. So if what makes a man righteous is that he has the right thoughts, which means he is thinking God's thoughts, then what will make a man unrighteous? He is unrighteous who has not the right thoughts. In other words, he has any thoughts which is not God's thoughts. Acts 20:28-31 says, take heed therefore, be careful and pay attention unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the flock of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, I'm guessing at it, not that I see a trend, but I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves, which is violent, cruel, and unsparing ones, will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, things that are twisted and made different from what you were meant to be, to draw away disciples to them, after them. Therefore, watch. In other words, pay close attention to it. Check it with the word. And remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, Matthew 7:15 tells us, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they are ravening wolves. In other words, what they are and what they appear to be are two different things. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs off of thistle? Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. You see, we have gone around the world many times, I think 60 or 70 times, and we've been to 60 nations, but some of them six times or more, and we've had 3,500 ministers attend, and I say of the 3,500 ministers that attend, we may have about 60 and maybe even a little bit more than that, I don't know, but we have about 60 ministers every month. And so what happened to the other 3,500? Well, they heard the word, they knew it was true, but they chose not to preach it. They chose not to preach the doctrine which the prophet taught because, why, it might interfere with how many people they get in their church. And of course, how many people they get in their church, then that all is calculated into, well, how much tithe will I get? You see, so it's all about money, all right? And so a corrupt tree, the money grubbers, it says that they cannot produce good fruit. It's just not within them. And we know Brother Bram said in False Anointed Ones at the End Time that the fruit is the teaching of the season. Therefore, what you see happening in their lives is an indication of what they are teaching. Because the mind is a garden of thoughts, and as a man thinks in his understanding, so is he. Therefore, whatsoever you sow, you shall reap. And unrighteous thoughts will produce righteous. Righteous thoughts will produce righteousness, and unrighteous thoughts will produce unrighteousness. Now Romans 10:3 says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, okay, they can't understand it. They don't have the Holy Ghost, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Now, this explains it all. They want righteousness. They want to be right. So they try in their own way that which seems to be right. And right there, they err. Paul told us how that we become righteous. And he said, it is by faith, which is revelation, which comes by God alone. In Romans 1:17, he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by what? Faith. What's faith? Revelation. So if the just shall live by faith, which is revelation, then they live by what God gives them, which is what God has to say about it or is thinking about it. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith, which means it comes by revelation, speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, the word which has been revealed to thee, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised thee from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart believeth a man believeth unto righteousness, that which is right, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not even heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now Martin Luther in his commentary, I've read this several times before, he says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Okay? He says, here the apostle meets the arrogance of all who teach falsely and have a haughty mind. Oh, that the false prophets or teachers only would take heed to these words. How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Even though they say that they hear, they boast in vain, unless they hear true preachers. For to hear false prophets means as much as not even to hear. They hear and they do not hear. They have ears, but they do not hear, nor do they preach the word of God. This is a striking statement against all conceited hearers and students of the Bible. How shall they preach except they be sent? This is directed against the conceited teachers and arrogant instructors. Now, these four statements follow one another in such a way that one leads to the other, but so that the last forms the foundation on which the others rest. Thus, one, it is impossible that those preach who are not sent. Two, it is impossible that those hear who are without a preacher. It is impossible that they believe who do not hear. It is impossible that they call upon him whom they do not believe. And to this add the last, namely, it is impossible that they who do not call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So then the entire origin, source and origin of salvation rests on this, that God sends out someone, a true minister of the word. If he does not send out any, then they who are preaching falsely, and their preaching is no preaching at all. In other words, you turn on the radio and you're listening to a sermon, and you know it might be in the natural a good sermon, but he's not preaching, there's no life in it because he's not taking you to the word that's unfolding today. He's taking you to theology or to homiletics and using that. In fact, they would be better off had they never preached at all. Then they who hear error, and would be better off for them to have not even heard. Then they would believe would believe false doctrine, and it would be better for them not to even believe. Then also they who call upon him would be calling falsely upon a false Lord, and it would be better for them not to even hear. You see, these preachers get on the radio, and they might be Trinitarians, and so they're leading the people to a Trinitarian gospel. Well, the people calling on a Trinitarian God, they're calling on a false God. So you'd be better off not to even call. Well, then you got the oneness who thinks God and his Son are one like your fingers one. And they're leading the people to a false god. Just like the Jews, just like the Muslims. They all believe in our oneness, okay? But they don't even understand, because when God came in flesh and stood right there in their midst, they rejected him because he didn't come according to their theology, okay? So in fact, they would be better off had they never preached at all than they who hear error, and it would be better for them to not even have heard than they who believe would believe false doctrine, and it would be better for them not to believe. Then also they who call upon him would be calling falsely upon a false Lord, and it would be better for them not to even call. For such preachers do not preach. Such hearers, now they might be preaching, but they're not preaching the truth. See, such hearers do not hear. Why? Because they're not hearing the truth. Such believers do not believe. Why? Because they're not believing the truth. And such callers do not call, and they will be damned because they would be saved by falsehood. So we read in Proverbs 1:28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they have hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Then only they that can preach with certainty, who proclaim the gospel without error. Now, how are you going to do that in this day? You're going to take a vindicated prophet's words and take it right back to the scripture. Then when you see it's indicated by God, and it's indicated by a true prophet of God and the scriptures of God, then you say, wow, this is the same thing. It's right there, see? How beautiful then are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. By this quotation, the Apostle Paul shows that not only can preach who are sent by God, those cannot preach the divine word and be messengers of God who he has not sent and to whom he has not entrusted his word. So when you get a preacher up there who is not preaching the word of God to the people, he's not sent by God. So with these same words, the Apostle Paul points out the nature of the spiritual peace and its gifts. These blessings are heard only in the divine word and are apprehended only by faith. They cannot be presented in a visible form. Now, the word beautiful stands for purity, and I'd like to add that according to the Strong's, it means belonging to the right hour or season, timely, by implementation, to be flourishing. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word. We know that it is true. And so, Father, we just pray that we would have a righteous thinking in our minds. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.